Eagles host Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers this Monday night in a primetime matchup. Welcome to Eagles Green Zone. I'm Becky Frensinger.
I'm Bob Bumbara. Once again, all eyes on Philadelphia for Monday Night Football. Last week, Becky, all eyes were on rookie Nick Foles. We're going to talk about his performance against the Redskins on Green Zone.
And later in the show, we catch up with D'Amico Ryans and his trip back to Alabama this past offseason. All here on Eagles Green Zone.
Week 12 of the NFL regular season has the Eagles hosting the Carolina Panthers on Monday Night Football. Hello and welcome to Eagles Green Zone. I'm Bob Bumbara. Joining me, Hall of Fame writer Ray Dininger and former Eagle, former NFL player Dan Klecko. Guys, let's first look at all the focus last Sunday on rookie quarterback Nick Foles and his NFL debut. I first want to get your first impression of Foles' performance. Ray, let's start with you. Did he seem nervous or confident at the start of the game?
I wouldn't say confident, but I wouldn't say nervous either. I mean, he looked to me like a guy making his first NFL start. And his performance was what you would expect for a guy who's in that position playing for a team that's not playing very well around him. You know, quarterback position is really a function of the people around you and how well they're performing too. And, you know, you look at the bottom line, a 40 quarterback efficiency rating isn't very pretty. But you look at the situations he was placed in, you look at the offensive line play in front of him, you look at the fact that out of 19 third down situations, more than half of them were third and eight or longer. Half a dozen of them were third and 15 and longer. I really don't think that Nick Foles, I'm not going to say he played great, but I don't think he was given a great chance to succeed either.
So does Nick Foles' own development, own improvement depend more on him trying to maximize his own abilities, or does it just have to do with him working more with his offensive linemen, with his wide receivers?
I mean, I don't know if you remember Peyton Manning, his rookie year, they went 3-13. You know, he got the hell beat out of him. He really did. I believe that's a good way for a rookie quarterback to learn, especially nowadays with, you know, they're so used to it coming out of college. I think that's the only way he's going to get better, and I think that's the only way you can evaluate him and see what you have going forward in the future.
He's just now at the very first baby steps of becoming an NFL player. And for a quarterback, especially for a quarterback of a struggling team, it is a painful process, even for the really good ones. I mean, Dan cited Peyton Manning's rookie year in Indianapolis was terrible. I mean, I saw John Elway's rookie year in Denver. It was brutal. And these were great players. I mean, these are guys whose busts are going to be in Canton. And it was tough for them to start. And that's the thing that Nick has to keep in his mind. Nobody's expecting you to come out here and save this day.
All right, guys, obviously when we think about the Carolina Panthers, Cam Newton, the number one guy. Why has Cam Newton not been as effective for Carolina as he was last year?
He got a year full of tape on him. You know, guys figure him out. I also think, and I hate to say this because he was so brilliant last year, but when things start going bad for Cam, I don't think Cam knows how to handle it. You see it. You see how he mopes. You see how he puts a towel over his head. You see how Steve Smith has to get in his face and say, hey, we need you. I think that's been one of Cam's problems this year, is he expected to come out and be an 11-5 team, a 10-6 team, and they're just not there yet.
I want you to give me some impressions of what you thought about the play of Brandon Boykin so far at a cornerback.
I like him. I mean, I liked him coming out of college. I thought he was a real good prospect. I thought he was a great pick where the Eagles got him. You got to consider what this year has been. I mean, he's a rookie, and they've changed defensive coordinators on him in the middle of the season.
True, yeah.
Changed systems, changed coverages. I mean, he came in, learned one whole system in the beginning of the season through training camp, and they totally flip-flopped it in the middle of the season. That's tough on anybody, but it's doubly tough on a rookie. I just think it's hard to judge him. Has he had a great season? No. But I do think he has a lot of talent, and I do think he has a real future with this team. If you're talking about the building blocks going forward, to me, he would be one of the guys I would certainly keep.
Ray Dininger, Dan Klecko, always good seeing you here on Eagles Green Zone, guys. As we take a look now at a current Eagle, D'Amico Ryans, as he had a chance to go home to Alabama.
Oh, boy, does Leak go down, and guess who? At the 40.
Guess who?
D'Amico Ryans.
If he gets to you, he doesn't miss.
Ains deep. Rainbow pass. D'Amico Ryans intercepts. Perfect ending. Absolutely picture perfect ending. The All-American with the interception.
Well, growing up, I was always an Alabama fan. Alabama came on late, offered me a scholarship. That was it. You know, when they offered me, I had to accept it. And it was a dream come true to be able to go and play for the team that you rooted for growing up. Playing there, it was tough. I was one of the only true freshmen to play. And I remember that first game, like, man, this is moving too fast for me. I don't want to be out here. But we just kept working at it, kept pushing. And then next year, I was able to become a starter.
They hand it off, and he gets by D'Amico Ryans. The die is caught and dropped as D'Amico Ryans, the All-American linebacker, comes up and gets it for behind.
Giving back is something I always wanted to do once I made it in the NFL. One of the first goals for my foundation was to, you know, provide a scholarship to the University of Alabama. It was a $300,000 scholarship, but it's one that will be at the University of Alabama forever. And it's real dear to my heart, something I always wanted to do. Growing up in Bessemer was tough, but the thing about growing up in Bessemer was the outlet of sports. That's what helped us out. You know, we had gangs and drugs, violence all around. You had to find some type of way to draw yourself away from that type of crowd. So for me, it was sports. And sports just kept me busy, kept me doing other things than being out in the streets and getting involved with the wrong crowd. Let's work, guys. Let's work now. Let's work. Who the best in this group?
Me.
Oh, we're going to see. I always knew I wanted to come back to my hometown and provide things that wasn't there for me growing up. So we do the football camps, cheerleader camp. It's something that I wish I would have had growing up. So I always wanted to reach back and just teach the kids all the knowledge that I've gained over the years. It's been important to me. I mean, a lot of kids think just, you know, the athletics, that's the only part of it, that's the only thing they see. But I tell kids, at the end of the day, you can't play sports forever. One thing people can't take from you is your mind. Congratulations once again to all the scholarship winners. This is what I love about the camp, being able to present young people with scholarships to go on to college. And we look forward to doing this all again next year. God bless.
Oh, come on now. Press the ball out there. Come on.
You know, playing football, I always got into training. Always developing, trying to become better, different techniques of training. And then a couple years ago, I had the opportunity of meeting this guy who started his training facility, D1. And I was like, man, what a perfect opportunity. I would love to do this back in my hometown to give the kids around my area that competitive advantage, being able to train. So, you know, the business side of it and the training side of it just linked up, and it was a perfect fit.
Make sure you guys are having fun with what you're doing. Make sure you're working hard and listening to what the coaches say. You have to pay attention to the detail of what the coach asks you to do and make sure you're doing exactly that. Got me?
Yes, sir.
From the athletic side, this is a huge step in the right direction for guys. When they go into junior high, when they go into high school, they already have the work ethic and they already have the desire and they already know what to expect and how to push themselves further than they think that they can go. It teaches young people a sense of dedication, a sense of perseverance, a sense of just a work ethic and what it takes to push yourself further than you ever thought you could push yourself. And that translates over into life.
Take your time, hit every square, take your time, hit every square.
On the other side of it, He's the type of leader that everybody wants. He's going to show you how to do it first, and then if you don't do it, then that's when he'll say something.
Be fast, guys, be fast.
And that's the type of leader you want to follow. You don't want a guy that's going to tell you how to do it and tell you how to live it and, you know, doesn't do it. He's definitely lead by example.
All right, Tom, go ahead. Here we go, boy. They doing all that, yes, sir. Oh, yeah. They doing all that, yes. It's time to set it up right now.
He's as good a man as you'll ever meet. He's been that way since we were 18 years old, and he's a rock. And you know, Philadelphia Eagles are very lucky to have him.
Eagles Green Zone is brought to you by NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy. Dunkin' Donuts, America runs on Dunkin'. And Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment. Bracket breakdown time here on Green Zone as we are inching our way closer to the Elite Eight of the greatest Eagle of all time. But we're going to take a look back now with Ray Dininger and Dan Klecko at the two winners from last week. And Dan, real no surprises here. It went according to chalk, right?
No, Bob, not at all. Chuck Manderick versus Eric Allen. We love Eric, but Chuck, obviously, maybe the greatest Eagle of all time. Here's me and Adam. We both actually picked Seth last week. We thought he beat Randall, but obviously a little bit of a fan favorite. People remember who Randall was, one of the most electric quarterbacks in the NFL ever. So, Ray, let's look at this week. Once again, you got the battle of the heavyweight running backs, for me anyway, you know, in Eagles history. Steve Van Buren, tell us about him. I mean, you really remember him.
Well, Steve, the Eagles have only had, in their entire history, they've only had one running back win the rushing title. And it was Van Buren, and he won it four times in 5 years. He was the greatest player of his era. He was the greatest NFL player of the 40s. And I think the greatest measure of his true ability is the fact that all these years after he retired, we're talking 60 years now, he still holds 10 team records. He's one of the great running backs, not just in the history of this franchise, but in the history of the National Football League, without a doubt.
Well, I can tell you about Brian. That 08 season, looked like we were dead in the water. We go up to Minnesota, a game not a lot of people gave us a chance to win. And I can remember, you know, I even get hurt in the game, but I can remember huge play from Brian, really breaks the game open. Minnesota never recovers. He has an 80-yard screen pass that he runs all the way in, and it's just, you know, it was amazing. One of his great plays of his career, one of the ones we'll always remember is that 08 run.
My Tommy McDonald play, everybody remembers the touchdown against Green Bay in the 60 championship game. It was a great play, put the Eagles ahead. The following year, 1961, Jurgensen had replaced Van Brocklin as the quarterback, and the Eagles went down to Washington to play the Redskins. And the Eagles were losing the whole game on the final play of the game with the Redskins secondary playing so deep they were in Silver Springs, Maryland. Tommy still split the secondary, caught a pass, went into the end zone, won the game on the final play, and then had one of the most amazing leaping into his teammates' arms celebrations you're ever going to see. So that, to me, epitomized Tommy.
Now we go to David Akers. You know, I want to revisit the 4th and 26 game.
Well, everybody remembers 4th and 26. Everybody remembers the pass to Freddie Mitchell and converting the unconvertible 4th down. But what you forget is, after that, you still had to get in position for the field goal, and David had to make the field goal. So he makes the field goal, sends it into overtime, and then in overtime, Brian Dawkins intercepts Favre, and then Akers has to come back and kick the winning field goal.
Bob, as we inch closer to the Elite Eight, tell everyone how they could go out there and vote.
PhiladelphiaEagles.com/vote. Put your name in, put your vote in for the greatest Eagle of all time and our bracket breakdown. And certainly I think Ray and Dan would agree that when you think of all-timers, all-time great players with the Eagles, Wilbert Montgomery's name always enters the picture. When you think about Wilbert, you think about those great Dick Vermeil teams. Here now more on the great number 31.
Jaworski gives off inside, running with Montgomery up the right side. Left 30, 25, 40, 15, 10, touchdown! Wilbert Montgomery! Montgomery explodes on the right side, and the Eagles
have
scored first.
NFC Championship game, and I had no idea that I was going to play in a ball game. So I just grabbed my helmet, and I come running right up to Coach Vermeil and said, I'm ready to go. The next play was 4-6 slant, and running off to the left side and broke it back to the right side, and next thing I know, I was running for the end zone. It was the start of a beautiful game for the city of Philadelphia and the Philadelphia Eagles.
The Philadelphia Eagles are in the Super Bowl at long last.
I never knew that I was going to have the opportunities that came my way. When I got a call back in Texas, and I was going to take my final exam at the university there, and I got a call from a sports writer, and the question was, what do you think about being a Philadelphia Eagle? And at that point there, I just shook my head because I didn't know nothing about the Philadelphia Eagles. I had no idea about the city of brotherly love, but I'd come to know the city quite well. My rookie season came as a blessing because Coach Vermeil gave me an opportunity, and it's what I did with those opportunities because he knew what he wanted, and he was looking for certain kind of people. And I guess I must be one of those guys that fit the bill.
Robert Montgomery is playing magnificent football.
So I ended the season rushing for over 100 yards. And Coach Vermeil brought me into his office and he said, you are the starting halfback and it's your job to lose. And I made a commitment to myself that every day that I was going to work out twice a day, I was going to run, I was going to lift. And once you emerge as a player, it's like, what do you do to stay on top? And on any given Sundays, no matter who is on the other side of the field, you have to say and think and believe that, hey, I'm the best player on this field today. And I just felt that, hey, when it was time for me to touch the field, I had to be the best of the best. And I wanted to prove to them that I could be the best. That was just my mindset. I want to win. So me playing for Philly, playing against the Cowboys, oh man, those were days of days. Going from Philadelphia Eagles, going to those Eagles over there at West Deptford and Coach Fulton, I got a start with him. He gave me an opportunity and he was showing me how to become a coach.
I think at the time when Wilbert came, we were looking for Obviously, with a new staff, we were looking to set the standards.
And I tell you what, every time I go up 285, I always look over there at the water towers, look at that eagle symbol over there, and I think about Coach over there and what a tremendous man that he was, a great inspiration, giving me an opportunity.
He did a nice job in terms of delivering the message of the fine points of playing the position. And it was exciting at the time when he was here, and we're very happy to have had his influence in our program.
Speaking of Ray Rice, I spoke with his position coach down on the field today, and that is one Wilbert Montgomery.
He loves working with the kid because the kid gives you so much to work with.
I went on from West Deffern, and Coach Harbaugh brought me in, gave me an opportunity to come here to Baltimore to be his running back coach and being a part of what he wanted to bring to this city.
And he's got that kind of enthusiasm, you know, for everything he does. He got done playing, became a high school coach. And that's when I got to know him, because Coach Reed got real close to him in Philadelphia. And he just said, talk about this guy. Hey, it's Wilbert Montgomery. He's going to be a heck of a coach, man. He's really a special guy.
They really going to play those backside gaps.
Yeah.
They're going to play those backside gaps, so we got to stay free to the course. You know what I'm saying?
He's a huge part of what we're doing. The players love him, and he's tough. He's demanding. You know, he's just a tremendous X and O coach. He understands the game. He's got a great feel, you know, for the game.
He has a belief himself, and he sees how he wants this team. And now working with him and helping him, trying to mold and build this team into what he wants.
I think he kind of epitomizes the spirit of our football team in a lot of ways. He's a hard-nosed competitor, and he's a person that cares about, you know, everybody around him.
And I tell you what, those guys helped me become the guy that I am today. They give me the opportunity to coach and be around guys like Ray Rice, you know, Willis McGahee. You know, I can't thank those guys enough.
Join the Eagles and the American Red Cross on December 1st for the 5th annual Eagles Blood Drive. All presenting donors will receive a limited edition Todd Harriman's number 79 t-shirt. Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit www.redcrossblood.org/eagles to make your appointment today. On November 10th, 1985, Mike Quick caught a 99-yard touchdown pass from Ron Jaworski to beat the Atlanta Falcons in overtime, marking an NFL record. We give you Prior to the Snap.
In Week 10 of the 1985 season, the Eagles had a comfortable 17-0 lead in the fourth quarter against the 1-8 Atlanta Falcons. Somehow, the Falcons made an improbable comeback, scoring 17 unanswered points and sending the game into overtime. As the Birds were buried on their own one-yard line, third-year receiver Mike Quick made an enormous play that saved his team and put his name in the record books. But there were plays before Quick's catch and run that helped give the Eagles their sixth win of the year. The Eagles built up a 17-point lead thanks to the play of their defense, which piled up 7 sacks against the lowly Falcons offense. The Eagles got on the scoreboard first when right tackle Leonard Mitchell cleared a path for running back Ernest Jackson, who ran it in from 8 yards out. Early in the fourth quarter, the Atlanta defense finally woke up and intercepted Jaworski in his own end, putting their offense in good field position. Falcons quarterback David Archer converted the turnover into points when he found Joe Washington for an 18-yard strike. The game was now tied at 17 and headed into overtime. The Falcons won the toss in overtime, but were unable to muster up anything offensively. But they were able to pin the Eagles on their own half-yard line. Wide receiver Mike Quick lined up and noticed the Atlanta cornerback was playing him to the outside and the safety was playing too far inside. Running an inside hitch, he beat the corner and was open as jaws hit him. With that smooth stride and 99 yards later, he was in the end zone celebrating with his teammates. Quick tied an NFL record and also gave the Eagles their first overtime victory in franchise history. He finished the day with 145 yards receiving and making one of the most unbelievable plays in team history.
Eagles Green Zone is brought to you by NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy. Dunkin' Donuts, America runs on Dunkin'. And Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment.
The bracket breakdown's in the final 16, Bob, and if the fans forget how to vote, tell them how.
Well, after you finish your turkey dinner, go to Philadelphia Eagles NFLRegularSeason.com/vote. Vote for your greatest Eagle of all time.
Sit back, relax, and have a happy Thanksgiving. For Bob and Barron, Becky Brinsinger, thanks for tuning in to Eagles Green Zone.
Well, after you're done your turducken, go to PhiladelphiaEagles.com/vote. Vote for your greatest Eagle of all time.
And while you're there, get some gravy, get some heavy.
Oh, we had it!
Tell them how.
Well, after you've choked out your turducken.
Turducken.
I wanted to say that. It's just, there's no way.
You choked down your turducken.